The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they had seen the Lord. Jesus said again to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So when the other disciples said to them, "We have seen the Lord," but he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, when his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You have come to believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that this belief you may have, and you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
How do you know? How do you know? All right, now you're like, "Father Christopher's getting all philosophical with us. It's time to get out the pillow and fall asleep." The question I have for you, let's take this theme for a little walk, if we shall. How do you know that Rome exists? All right, I'm going to be messing with your mind today, but let's give this a shot. How do you know that Rome exists? Excuse me? It's still there. That's good.
I've been there.
Oh, you've been there?
I've been there.
Okay.
City of Rome.
You've been there? Okay. Anyone? Who else believes Rome exists? Anyone? Let's go. How do you know Rome exists? You were there as well. Okay. How do you know? You were there as well. You've been there. Oh, who's been to Rome? All right. You have not been to Rome. How do you know that Rome exists?
I've read about it.
You've read about it. Okay, good, good, good. Is anyone willing to wager against me that anyone willing to go and say Rome does not exist? Really? Really? Wow. That's good, right? All right. So we have this beautiful city of Rome, and no one's willing to say it doesn't exist, right? Why? Because we've had people who've been there and say, "Man, it's an awesome place." What do you love about Rome?
The ruins.
The ruins, okay. Anyone else from Rome? Any other? What do you love about Rome? The Vatican. Okay, that's good. Vatican City, very beautiful. All right. We have had an experience of a place, and you want to, "Hey, look, there's this great place called Rome. Want to go?" Who would turn down a free trip to Rome? All right, good. I think we're in a good audience participation mode. We got no doubters here. Thomas, we're here. He probably has his hand raised a few times already. Okay, so we are able to believe that a place called Rome, Italy exists because we read about it, we've seen some pictures, We've heard stories about it, and we have people who tell us about it, right? So let's go a little bit deeper. How do you know that you are loved? By your family or your parents, spouse, or... Oh, right here, ready to go. How do you know that you are loved?
Because we care about them.
Because we care about them. Okay, but how do you prove that? Anyone want to... We're going to go there. How do you know that you're loved?
You feel secure.
Why? How? How do you feel secure?
You're competent.
But how do you believe that? What has led you to this belief that you are loved?
Through actions.
Can you give me one? Like?
Taking care of them.
Providing for them. Okay, so we're getting somewhere. Providing for someone. Anyone else? Let's. All right, I'm going to go to the back here. This is where everyone's falling. Oh, we got one here. We're trying to prevent the guys from the back from being called on here.
Sacrifice?
Can you give me an example?
I go to work for my family and I provide for them to put food on the table.
Okay, so working for someone and making sure they're fed, that's good. All right. They get you stuff that you want? Yes. They clean up after you. Yes, you're not yet in the space where you can clean up after yourself. I know your parents are waiting for that moment. Yes? They always have your back besides the cleaning. Yes. Even after they mess up, they forgive you. Anyone over here? It's a little quiet over here. You notice everyone in the back, this is where everyone's crowded, of course, like good Catholics. But we know that we are loved through the actions of others, do we not? It's not just because they cleaned up after me, therefore they love me, okay? Look, the garbage men do as much, right? I mean, certainly there are plenty of people who do things, provide food for you. Your server at the table, you know, is bringing out food. Certainly they care for you, but, you know, they're not going to take a bullet for you, not necessarily, right? But there's some sort of pattern or witness that we see that say, oh, that's how I know that I am loved. And so we have today, Divine Mercy Sunday. We have the Doubting Thomas and Divine Mercy. How do you rectify this? So Jesus make himself present to the disciples. Now notice, the door is locked. Now, are these disciples who really believe in Jesus' resurrection at this point? No. No, they got the door locked, they have extra latches on. They're terrified, out of their minds. And yet, Jesus comes right in. Peace be with you. He's saying, hey, look, calm down. Calm down. Don't be afraid. And he shows them the wounds and his side. Sacrifice, like we talked about. And the disciples, they start getting excited. This is awesome. Thomas walks in after Jesus has left, like any good person coming late. Jesus is risen from the dead. Yeah, right. There's some other words I would use, but I would not repeat them in church. Two letters, and you can explain that to your kids when they're like 16, 17. There's a moment of doubt. Why? Because he saw Jesus killed. He saw suffering in the world. His doubt is because he saw Jesus died on the cross. As often, most people doubt that God exists because of the suffering they see in the world. Now, what's interesting here is, I won't believe it till I see the wounds in his hands and feet. And guess what? Jesus shows up. Here I am. Put your hands into my side. Now, let me say something right here. I would love many proofs for the existence of God. I do not want to put my fingers in Jesus' side, okay? Maybe a few of you are out there to be professional doctors, and you're like, that would be really cool. I'm not one for, I pass out when there's a little blood here. But yet, why is it in the wounds of Jesus that we come to believe? Is it just seeing something? Oh yeah, look, here's a pretty beautiful picture. I love you. Something else more sufficient. Something else dramatic is here. They see the sacrifice. They see this as yet another one of those things that Jesus has done to show his love for not only his disciples, but for the rest of the world. Jesus has shown his love. God has made his love manifest in a fleshly way, not just in words. Oh, I love you, like Barney. I love you. You love me. Now that song's stuck in your head. Okay, for your kids under 7, they probably don't remember Barney. It's probably a little old-fashioned now, but you can explain that to them later. But this idea of love is not just something that is said, but something that is enfleshed. It says, Thomas, don't doubt. Don't have any more disbelief. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is wonderful. I can sit here and tell you that there are more written accounts of Jesus is risen from the dead than probably that, you know, the fact that Caesar died. Ancient text, there are a lot of Christian texts out there. We got a lot of texts, we got a lot of witnesses. Jesus appears a lot to a lot of people. A lot of change happens in people. You know, these disciples who are afraid, they're not afraid anymore. Something happens. Something changes in them. Their actions change from being afraid to going out and serving other people. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, how do we know that God loves us? We've taken a moment to reflect on that. Each and every one of us has an example in our lives where we know that we have been loved, that someone loves us. Despite the suffering and pain that exists in the world, we have counter evidence to believe that there is some good in this world and there is some love. And it is not enough for us to stay in that locked room. It is not enough to say, oh, we are loved and God forgives us our sins. It is now a challenge for us to go out, to prove God's love, to prove Jesus has risen from the dead, not just in words, but in actions. By showing people our wounds and our sacrifices and our love for one another. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is awesome that we know that Rome is a wonderful place to visit. It is even more powerful to know that we are loved by God, and God loves us. So my brothers and sisters, just as we have come to believe in the resurrection Lord, may we be witnesses of God's mercy and love into this world, so that everyone will know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and that we are loved. May we be that witness to those people who have had pain and who doubt because of the pain they've seen and experienced. May we bring that healing and that resurrection and that grace into people's lives this Easter.